Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Hey there, welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. If you would please check me out online, I made all this as simple as I could. You could check me out on the web, 1160, so it's 1160mortgage.com. You can reach me personally at 630-338-1160. So let's get into today's show. I'm going to talk two things. First segment, we're going to go over refinancing. Does it make sense? Does it make sense in certain situations? Might not make sense in others. But I'm going to talk. Many times I'll get a call saying, you know, I want to refinance. I actually got a somebody watching my YouTube video, and they actually emailed me from Texas saying, I will refinance if you can get me a rate lower than 3% right now. It's 2019.
What are you talking about?
There is no, it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to reply. I'll reply and just say no. But the biggest thing on that is, you know, a lot of people get, and I get it, they get inundated with the rate, okay? So if you're looking to refinance, and do nothing other than just refinance the balance, well, yeah, if you're at 4% right now, why would you refinance at 6? No sense. However, in a lot of cases, what people don't realize is when I'm taking an application, it's not uncommon to see $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in credit cards. The same person is wanting a 3% mortgage. The credit cards are at 18%. Does it make sense to refinance if you have equity and pay those bills off? I'm going to show you, yeah. I'm not trying. My goal here isn't to put you in more debt or further in debt. You're in debt. Let's structure it to make sense. So you might listen to some shows, the mortgage, I'll say it, David Ramsey's, or different, you know, systems like that that say, you know, don't do this or don't do that. Sometimes it makes sense to do this. And that's where I kind of differ from some of these systems. Again, I'm not putting you in more debt. How can we make this make sense? So let me go through a scenario with you. I put some numbers together to kind of elaborate this to show you, wow, this does make sense. I refinanced my 4% rate to 6% on my mortgage, and I saved a ton. How? The scenario is you took out a $200,000 mortgage 15 years ago. So your current balance right now is $157,000 15 years later. And because a lot of these things are pre-packed at the beginning, and a lot of interest goes and so forth. But you can run an amortization schedule on this and just Google amortization schedule and plug in these numbers and you'll get exactly what I come up with. So you have a 4% loan you took out 15 years ago for $200,000. You owe $157,000 remaining. All right. However, you have $40,000 in credit card bills, and the average rate is 18%. So we do the numbers. How long would it take you to pay off those credit cards? If you're like most, you pay the minimum payment. What would be the minimum payment on $40,000 and 18%? I actually looked that up online. I Googled it, so you can look up the same thing. Your payment would be $1,600 a month.
Ouch.
It would take you, how many years do you think it would take you?
This is George, 16, the producer. $1,600 a month.
$40,000 at 18%, paying the minimum payment a month.
At 18% is going to take you around 15 to 17 years?
20 years.
20 years?
You were a lot closer than I was. I guessed, and I'm like, 12 years. So you did better than I did. I Googled this, and I found it online, and I plugged it in. You're going to pay $25,000 in interest on that. Okay, so let's go back. Your payments on those credit cards, and I the payment on this was $1,600. Does that seem right to you for 40,000 in credit cards? That's, to me, that seemed high. But there was a calculator. I think it was bankrate.com. I plugged it in and it popped it out. Yeah. So I actually did it. Just Google it. If nobody believes me, Google it. It would take you 20 years to pay that off. Okay. So we owe $157,000 on our mortgage with 15 years left. And we owe $40,000 in credit cards at 18%. That's costing us $1,600 a month that we're going to pay for 20 years.
Yeah. And how much was the mortgage?
157.
So that's probably about the same payment for your house with your insurance and your taxes and everything as for the $40,000 in credit card payment.
So I plugged this together and I'm like, does this make sense? And I'm interested. I'm truly interested. So I said, okay, we now add that 40 grand to the 157. So I rounded it. We have now a $200,000 mortgage.
All right.
We're back to where we were.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, but we spent that credit card money. We spent the money. I'm not putting you in any more debt.
Yep.
So we were paying $1,600 a month on the credit cards. Now we combine the two. Okay. So now what I'm going to do is that new mortgage payment, I'm going to say, we're going to take the new mortgage payment and we're going to add $500 more. We're spending $1,600 on the credit card. We're going to take now instead of paying that, we're going to take 500 of that and apply that. Now we consolidated everything. We're going to add it to our mortgage payment on top of what that new mortgage payment would be. Okay. And the mortgage payment really didn't go up much at all. And I forget that calculation. So I apologize about that. But let's say it went up $200 from what you're paying now. Okay. Again, we did $200,000 on a 30-year loan 15 years ago at 4%. So the only really difference here is we're going back to that $200,000 on a 30-year term. We're changing it to a 6% rate. So I'm going to say it's an extra $200 a month. All right? So now you're paying $1,600 a month on your credit cards. We're going to half that and say, you know what? We're just going to take that. We didn't have the money anyways because we racked up all this credit card. We're going to apply $800 more a month to our mortgage payment. So again, we're lessening the load on you monthly, big.
Yeah.
If you do that,
your minimum is now down around $1,350.
Yeah.
You have taken $1,350 or $1,400 off the amount you absolutely have to pay each month.
Right. Exactly.
And now you're saying we're going to pay a little extra toward the mortgage,
right,
but it still doesn't even come close to what you were paying before.
Exactly.
And you're going to not
have it.
And you're going to knock how many years off the mortgage?
You'd pay off your house in 12 years.
How about that, folks?
So you're paying it 3 years earlier than you had remaining on your loan. And you remember the credit cards were going to be 20 years. Now you cut off 8 years of that. I didn't put you in any more debt. I got you a 6% interest rate where you had 4. Did it make sense? Does it make sense? You betcha it makes sense.
Lowered your payments and paid off your house in half the time.
Also, you're going to write off the interest. The interest that you pay on the mortgage is going to be tax deductible. Check with your accountant for that.
And especially at the front end of the loan, it's almost all interest.
Yeah. So you're going to get tax benefits. You're going to pay off your house earlier. You'll get rid of all your credit cards. I would plead one thing. Don't go back out there and spend all that up. I wasn't trying to get you in any more debt.
Right.
I'm just restructuring that debt.
Yeah,
and
the purpose of this is not to clear your cards so you can shop for next
week.
Go Christmas.
Back out there again. So again, the whole gist of this is don't be wowed over the interest rate. Yes, you want the best rate you can. My goal for you and what I always say is get the money as cheap as you can. Get it as cheap as you can. The lowest rate and no fees. That's what you're looking for. It's just money. The entity that you go with, I hope you use me or at least give me a shot. But let's say, you know, I'm only going to deal with Wells Fargo. Guess what, folks? You're going to get a loan with Wells Fargo, and it could be 6 months, a year, 2 years, 1 month, and they transfer your account. So all the money you just paid to Wells Fargo to be with Wells Fargo, you're no longer with them. So don't worry about the entity. They're giving you money. You know, you don't want to have a quack company out there, but in today's world with the regulations, there aren't really many of those out there at all. They're giving you money. Now, if you're investing in them, If you're giving someone $200,000, you better well be, know what company you're going with and the structure and the financials behind it. But if they're giving you money, get the money as cheap as you can. That's the only thing I can say there. So hopefully that made sense. Does that make sense to you? And how we went from 4% to 6% and I saved you money?
Makes sense to me.
Got it. You the man. All right. So when we come back, it's going to be quiz time for George again. George, the producer.
Uh-oh.
We're quizzing.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to go here. I'm going to prep you. So let's go
all
over.
Right.
We're going to go over the differences between Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay.
Fannie Mae Candy and the Freddie Mac Company.
Sure.
I'm just throwing that out there. And the reason why I asked you that is I've been getting YouTube questions
NBA
on.
NBA Hall of Famer Freddie Mac.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been getting questions on YouTube of, you know, was that a Fannie Mae loan or Freddie Mac loan or whatever? I don't know if the person really knows what those two entities are. They probably do. Is there a difference? What's the difference? Who uses what? How does it go through? We're going to go through that. And also, we're going to calculate mortgage payments and what to use, what's factored in there, what's the best calculators to use, and what's the best calculators not to use. So I thank you for tuning in. We will be back in 2 minutes. God bless. Please don't turn that dial. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Freo. And we're going to proceed with, what did I say? We're going to go over, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. And no, it's not Fannie Mae Candy. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the two entities out there that grant mortgages. George, the producer.
They're obviously completely independent of government, are they not?
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
But they actually pay... I don't know the whole structure of them right now.
They are self-funded, for at least they're supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, once in a while, Congress dumps money into them and then demands money.
That's something.
Back,
you know, I'll look into that.
It's a very strange thing.
It used to be no, and then when the crash hit, then the government stepped in, and then
to a lot of
then
things.
They wanted to come back. Yeah. And one of the big things that you hear is, you know, everybody's bashing them. You know, they're crooks and they're this and they're that. Well, if it wasn't for them, there'd be no mortgages.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be creations out with the billionaires out there.
Somebody would have found a way to make some money on it.
Yes. Yeah. But right now, honestly, it doesn't matter if you
What percentages of mortgages do you think are Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac? 98?
Probably
95? Standard mortgages. Not big
90,
jumbo, not big investment property, but
probably
just
90.
90%.
If I were to guess.
Yeah.
And I do it for a living. So that's every loan we do. If I do 50 loans a month, 49, 48 are going to one of them.
Yeah.
And there's a long story behind, you know, that piece of things. And I'll go over it with, if anybody's interested, you know, shoot me an email, shoot me a text, do me, you know, whatever. Just let me know if you want me to elaborate on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So what do you think? I don't want to answer this. Do you know, is there a difference? They're two separate companies.
Right.
But do you know of any differences? I'm just asking you.
As far as I know, in how they operate and in how they are used, not really. Maybe there are some different types of properties that each one would sort of specialize in one over the other. But I think they're pretty much the same thing. I know there's a difference in how they offload foreclosed properties, but that's not really what we're talking about.
We can do that over.
I have my complaints.
You know what? It was asked to me just recently to talk about bankruptcies, foreclosures, and other things, short sales and stuff. So maybe
we got to get that together.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow's show or coming show we'll go over, and then you can elaborate on some of that. But you know, a lot of people 10 years ago, foreclosures, deed in lieu, keys, cash for keys, bankruptcies, we can go over, you know, how long does it take you to before you can qualify again? A lot of people probably did take advantage of it by now.
We're getting to the point where a lot of people who had foreclosures might be thinking about buying.
Yep. They were able to recover and get everything off their back. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are two different entities. You've probably heard of one or both of them. There isn't they are two different entities. Believe it or not, their guidelines are I want to say out of 100 pieces of guideline, probably 95% of them are the same. But here, the interesting thing is they had all these systems that we use. When I say Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and again, here's the background. I'll pull the curtain behind the scene on how mortgages go through. So you call me or you go online and create a file and put in a mortgage application. We then pull your credit. Okay, it's a computer system. All this stuff is done in. We then take that data and export it. We push it into Fannie Mae's website or Freddie Mac's website. All of this, no person is looking at this data at this juncture.
Right.
So what happens is I push that data, and I usually use Fannie Mae. Don't ask why. It's just it's an easier system. It doesn't matter, folks, if you use me, Quicken, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, who we all use the same system, believe it or not. So we push that data into Fannie Mae, and it reads all of your data, and it spits out and says that loan is approved or referred. It doesn't come back and say denied, okay? I can get a denial or refer, I'm sorry, on Fannie Mae and then push it through to Freddie Mac and get an approval. Don't ask why. And many times it's the exact same file, and they have, like I said, 95% of the stuff is the same. It's reading the same data. It might not even be that 5% variation in underwriting issues.
Yeah.
It just likes that file for some reason.
Hmm.
Than the other one does. It makes no sense, but that's where a person who is working on your behalf can have all these options available to them to do that. So, but basically the question, why I brought this up is I've had YouTube viewers come back and say, you know, is that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you know, and ask me what the differences is. There's not a huge difference. And you, for the consumer, there's not a big difference there as well.
Yeah, if you have a loan secured by Fannie Mae or if you have a loan secured by Freddie Mac, you will notice zero difference at a homeowner
level.
It's
the same payments and whatever. Okay, so now we want to talk about mortgage payments, how to calculate them, what's involved, what's included, what's not included in that. So, George, you have a house.
I do.
What did you, when you first started looking?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest question that I get from somebody buying a home is how much money am I going to need?
Yeah.
And what are my payments going to be?
Yeah.
How did you figure out your payments, or did your realtor or your broker?
I knew what payments we could afford because we had a very stable, long running, like our budget was our budget. Like I knew exactly where we were at. We were both solid in our jobs. So my wife and I. But when we started looking, I went and I said, okay, well, what can we get qualified for? Our price point was going to be lower than, you know, we probably would have liked. Mm-hmm. And at that price point, you want to talk about foreclosures, we saw close to 90 houses.
Sheesh.
In 2 years. So it was spread out. But
you knew your price point, but how did you factor... Let's say you could afford, I'm just throwing $1,000 a month. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Nice even number.
How did you break down what you could have? How did you back in? Okay, I could buy a $120,000 house.
Or I get
how
you.
Did, if you
as
like
far
that
as
home.
Closing and all the other.
You went to one of those 90 houses and you said, I really like that.
I knew that we were going to need at least 5% down if we did a conventional loan. FHA didn't apply to most of these because most of them were as-is foreclosures.
Got it.
The house that we bought out of those 90, close to 90, was the only conventional sale.
Got it.
That we saw and could afford. So that was literally everything had a hole in the roof or drywall missing or something else that would have screwed up an FHA loan, broken concrete on the walkway going up, old houses with chip paint, whatever it was. Virtually nothing there would have allowed us any 3%.
So the one you liked, how did you calculate the payment to make sure you could afford it?
Well, honestly, I left the payment itself to the mortgage guy because we had no idea how much the flood insurance was going to be. We're in a flood zone. We had no idea how much the actual hazard insurance that's in that. We had a pretty good idea on the taxes, but it seemed low, so we wanted to be kind of You know, we're unincorporated, but, you know, it seemed low to me coming out of the city. So I wanted to be very sure that we were not going to be screwed over by that. But I tell you, I was off. I did a lot of homework on it. I did a lot of calculations on it, and I was off.
Got it. Here's the pieces of the puzzle. And I put probably 4 or 5 months ago, I finally found the mortgage calculator and put it on my website because all the other ones were terrible. So, and I had this stands out. It was like it happened yesterday, but it happened 2 years ago. I had a pastor actually come to my office and we're going through houses that they liked that they found on Zillow. That's a call.
Oh, are we going to talk about the Zillow mortgage calculator?
It's terrible.
That counts only interest and principal.
It's terrible.
Oh, you're paying $790.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, plus the other $1,000 for taxes.
So here, let me give you some insight.
It's hilarious.
So again, the website. Use the website if you're interested in some properties. Please, and you found it on Zillow. Don't use that. Don't use their mortgage payments. It's completely off. Go to my website, 1160mortgage.com. On every page to the right, there's a mortgage calculator. So what's entailed? You need the purchase price, your down payment, your interest rate. Use 5%. This is a rule of thumb right now. It also is going to give you your PMI factor. Use what's automatically populated in there. Okay. So now you said something about the taxes. They seem low. Don't use the Zillow.
They turned out to be right. The county assessor site. Yep. Don't get any kind of shortcuts.
You hit it right on the right on the nose.
And also look to see what exemptions the county gave the last person. Because man, those will hit you if they're getting a senior freeze or something. You're not going to get that.
And you just ruined my whole thunder.
Oh well, I'm trying to get you out on time.
Gotcha. So that's it. Yeah. Don't use the Zillow tax base. Look, do some homework. Go to the county's assessor's office of that county, plug in the address. It'll give you the taxes. Look at the exemptions. If there's a senior freeze and you really start wanting to dig in, call the county. See what they might be. But let's say it is accurate. Take that number, put it in the mortgage calculator. Call your insurance agent and say, you know what? I'm looking for a $200,000 home. What do you think just a ballpark. What's my tax or insurance going to be? Plug that number in. Hit calculate. That's going to be your mortgage payment. That will be your mortgage payment unless you need flood insurance or have an association fee. That is the safest way to do it. Yes, it's going to take some work. I would love to help you walk through that if you need my help, but that's the safest way to do it. So I hope you got a lot out of today's show. Please come back tomorrow. We will focus on, I just wrote this down, overlays. And then the length of time it you need to be out of foreclosure, bankruptcy, short sales, deed in lieu, and all that other stuff.
Hey, so, what's your website?
It is 1160mortgage.com. And if you need me, call me personally. I will answer the phone. It is 630-338-1160. Good night. God bless.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.